This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is both his servant and his messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran recounts for us the story of Fir'aun and Bani Israel. Inna Fir'auna ala fil ard wa ja'ala ahlaha shi'a yastad'ifu ta'ifatan minhum يذبح أبناءهم ويستحيي نساءهم إنه كان من المفسدين. That indeed Fir'aun exalted himself in the land, and he made its people into factions, and he oppressed some of them, slaughtering their sons and leaving their daughters. Indeed, he was of those who were corrupt. ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض. But Allah says, we wanted to convey a favor, to confer a favor upon those who had been oppressed on the earth. وَنَجَعَلُهُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَنَجَعَلُهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ. To make them the leaders on earth and to make them the inheritors on earth. وَنُمَكِّنُ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And to establish them in the land. وَنُرِيَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَهَامَانَ وَجُنُودَهُمَا مِنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَحْذَرُونَ. And to show the Pharaoh and Haman and all of their troops and soldiers the very thing that they were afraid of. We often complain about the state of the Ummah. Just as we look in history and we see the state of Bani Israel being pillaged and enslaved and attacked and oppressed and their children slaughtered. We look around the Muslim world, we see what happens to our brothers and sisters in Palestine, what happens to our brothers and sisters in Kashmir, what happens to our brothers and sisters in East Turkestan. We see what happens to our brothers and sisters in every corner of the world. And we think, what's the solution? And Allah tells you, as he's recounting for us the story of Bani Israel and the oppression that they were going through, that he wants to change their situation, just like you and I want to change the situation of our ummah. And then the next verse comes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنِ ارْضِعِي. We inspired the mother of Musa to nourish her child. To some, this seems like the Quran is changing subjects, but it's not. It's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you that change that he says he wants to happen, that change of Bani Israel going from oppressed and enslaved and murdered to being the leaders on earth, to being established in the earth, that change begins with Allah inspiring the mother of Musa to take care of her child, to nourish her child, to raise that child. The first step for change in this ummah happens inside of our houses, inside of our homes, with a mother and a father raising that next generation to take the step forward. That next generation to have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That next generation to be prepared with knowledge and faith and a goal and a vision for what needs to happen to our ummah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us as parents, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from the hellfire. Allah blesses us with children in this life. Children are a blessing. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ. Allah says it has been made beautiful for people, the love of spouses and children. This is a blessing, but the blessing always comes with obligations. Allah gives you a blessing of money that comes with obligation. You have to pay zakat. It comes with obligations. Your children come with obligations as well, how you are going to raise them and take care of them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kafa lil-mar'i min al-ithm an yudayya ma yaqut," that it is enough of a sin for you to waste or lose that which you are obligated to support, meaning your family and your children. And it's a blessing when we raise our children properly. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha mata ibnu Adam inqata'a anhu 'amaluhu illa min thalath." That when the child of Adam dies, all of his deeds are broken, cut off, disconnected, except for three. Sadaqatun jariyah, the continuous charity, the charity that continues. Aw ilmun yuntafi' bi, or a knowledge that he taught someone, that that person benefits from it. Aw waladun salihun yad'u lah, or the righteous child that makes dua for him. What greater blessing would there be for a person than on the day of judgment, there is a link between you and the next generation who believed in Tawheed, and the next generation after that that believed in Allah, and the generation after that that believed in Allah. But you come on the day of judgment and your good deeds were echoing generation after generation because of what you invested in raising your children. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man 'ala jariyatayn hatta tablugha jaa yawm al-qiyamah ana wa huwa wa dhamma asabi'ahu." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever raises two daughters until they reach adulthood, meaning he raises them properly, he fulfills the rights of his daughters over him, he says they will arrive on the day of judgment, him and I, and he brought together his fingers like this. You'll be this close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The rewards of raising our children are too numerous to mention. But we have to think about the methods of raising our children. How do we raise them according to the ways of the prophets? And I've spoken about this topic before and I've never even gone through my list before in the khutbah, because there are so many important methods and lessons for us to take account to. The first one that I have mentioned before, but I will mention over and over again, is what is the foundation of the relationship between the parent and the child. I have spoken to young people in our community who are having sometimes problems in life, and I ask them a simple question: do your parents love you? Now, I know their parents love them, because their parents are the ones asking me to talk to them. Their parents, I can see the anxiousness in their face. Do your parents love you? And half the time the child will say, "I don't know." And if I ask many elders, grown-ups amongst us, did your parents ever tell you that they loved you? Did your parents ever tell you that they were proud of you? You would be surprised how many people sitting amongst us today will say no. Now my question to you, is that the prophetic way of raising our children? We know the hadith of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he's holding his grandsons, Al-Hasan and Hussein, he's hugging them and he's kissing them. And the Bedouin man laughs at him. Not laughs at him, but scoffs. He says, "I have 10 children, 10 sons. I never kissed a single one of them. It's a matter of pride." He's saying, "Look at me, I'm tough with my kids. My sons are going to be tough. I don't kiss them. I don't hug them." And this is, by the way, a very Western idea of masculinity. We talked about that a few weeks ago. You know, the Hollywood 1980s version of masculinity, that you're stoic and you don't show any emotion even with your own kids. And I feel a lot of the Muslim world took this. What did our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to this man? The Prophet said, "Awa amliku laka shay'an in naza'a Allahu min qalbika ar-rahma." to roughly translate this, he's saying, what benefit am I to you? How can I help you if Allah took mercy out of your heart? I, as the Prophet of Allah, how can I help you if there's no mercy inside of your heart? And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمْ لَا يُرْحَمْ. Whoever does not show mercy will not be shown mercy. This is the way of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His daughter, Fatima radiallahu anha, says, every time I would enter the house, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would get up and kiss her on her forehead and give her a place to sit, take my spot to sit in it. Every time. If a parent does this repeatedly to the child, every day you kiss your child, every day you tell your child that you love them, you show rahmah and love and mercy to them, will that child reach a point in their life where they are wondering, does my parent really love me? Because when they're wondering that, that's a breakdown of the relationship. That's when you have serious problems, serious rebellions. Because the child sincerely does not know if the parent really cares about them. We have to build our relationship with rahmah. That's point number one. Point number two, throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us dua that is made from the parent to the child. People making dua for their children. Some dua that we have in our tradition and our religion only comes through the sunnah. The dua, what do you say when you enter the washroom? We know this from the sunnah. The dua, what do you say when you enter a masjid? We know this from the sunnah. Yet there are multiple, one after the other, dua in the Quran of prophets and righteous people making dua for their children. It's as if there's a message here. Make dua for your children and make dua often for your children. I remember a brother once complaining to me of their child. I said to him, first of all, first point, are you making dua for your son? He said, no. I said, are you making dua for your daughter? He said, no. He said, I only make dua for my son because my son is doing problems. I thought my daughter is good. She wears hijab. She goes to the masjid. I thought she was good. I didn't make dua for her. We have to make dua for our children. We have to. I've read many books on parenting. I've taught classes on parenting. Let me tell you something. Of all the tools and methods at our disposal, in the end of the day, everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can do everything 100% correct, and your child might still take the wrong path. Yes, because your child is a moral being and is going to be given moral choices in their life. We can do things to enhance their chances of making the correct moral decisions, but in the end of the day, everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to make dua to Allah. No matter if we do everything right as parents, in the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of all things. So make dua for your children. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. Those who make dua and they say, our Lord, gift us from our spouses and our children the comfort of our eyes. The dua of Prophet Ibrahim, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَاءِ. That he says, my Lord, allow me to be of those who establish salah وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي, and of my children as well. So we need to be constantly making dua to Allah for our children. We cannot rely exclusively on the means of the world, the dunya means. We have to rely upon Allah Azza wa Jal. The third point is, we teach our children through our actions. Parents want to be in instruction mode. We want to tell our kids, do this, do this, do this, do this. It's only natural. We see our kids, they're going through a journey. We've gone through the journey before. We want to tell them. But your kids are watching you with their eyes more than anything else. People, human beings learn through modeling. How behavior is modeled, that's how we learn. We learn how to be human beings by seeing how our parents acted. And we follow them. We know the dua in the Quran, وَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي. A beautiful dua. In this dua, we're saying, O Allah, let me do good deeds that you, O Allah, will be pleased with. Then the next part of the dua, wa aslih li fi dhurriyati, and make my children righteous. That order is important. You have to do good deeds for your children to be righteous. Your children are watching you. They listen to you with their eyes, not with their ears. One of the Salaf, he said, let the first act of goodness you do for your child, the act of goodness you do for yourself. فَإِنَّ عُيُوبُهُمْ وَعَقَدَةٌ بِعُيُوبِ, because their faults are tied, knotted together with your faults. فَالْحَسَنُ عِنْدَهُمْ مَا فَعَلْتُ وَالْقَبِيحُ مَا تَرَكْتُ. They will see good as what you have done, and they will see evil as what you have abandoned and what you have avoided. What we do is how our children learn. We want our children to be good. We have to ourselves emulate this and show this. If we smoke, if we curse, they will see it. And they will think of it as being good, or at least not that bad. If we worship and we abstain from evil, then they will see that as well as being the path. Of the points of being good parents and following the methods of the prophets in our parenting style is that we help our children be good to us. There's a hadith authentic in meaning. رحم الله من أعان ولده على بره. Allah has mercy on the one who helps his child be good to him. Your child has to be dutiful to you. This is a order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The child has to be dutiful to the parent. They have to have birr al-walidain. Allah has mercy on the parent who helps the child be good to them. Now what does this mean? This is about the expectations we have of our children. As parents, we should have expectations of our children. But it's also important that the expectations are reasonable. Our expectations have to be reasonable. When we have expectations of our child, and we say basically, no matter what you do, it's not good enough. Or they make the smallest mistake, and we hold it over their heads. Why'd you do this? We're training them, teaching them, that my expectations are never going to be fulfilled. And if the child understands this, my parents' expectations will not be fulfilled, then what will they do? They'll stop trying to achieve it altogether. They'll walk away from it altogether. So Allah has mercy on the parent who helps the child achieve his birr, achieve his dutifulness. In one narration, the Prophet is asked, how does the parent help the child be dutiful to them? He said, يُقَبِّلْ إِحْسَانَهُ وَيَتَجَاوَزْ عَنْ إِسَاءَتِهِ, that he accepts the good that the child does, and he forgives the errors that the child does. And some of the scholars commenting on this hadith, they said that this means that when the child makes an error, which is not a sin, it's not a sin, but they made a mistake, not a sinfulness, they didn't commit, you know, an evil deed, but they made mistakes, they made errors, that the parent should overlook these. That if every time your child makes a mistake, even if the mistake does not involve sinfulness, they break a plate, they leave the lights on, they didn't study well enough, if we can never overlook these mistakes or these faults, the child will eventually think, I cannot please my parents. This is not a goal I can achieve. Look at Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. He said, خَدَمْتُ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَشْرَ سَنِينَ. He said, I was the servant of the Prophet صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ for 10 years. His mother took him to be the servant of the Prophet صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He said, فَمَا قَالَ لِي أُفٍ قَطْ وَمَا قَالَ لِي لِشَيْءٍ صَنَعْتَهُ لِمَا صَنَعْتَهُ وَلَا لِشَيْءٍ تَرَكْتَهُ لِمَا تَرَكْتَهُ. He said, 10 years he was the servant of the Prophet صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He said, not once did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, "Uff, show this displeasure to me." He said, not once did he say to something that I did, "Why did you do this?" And not once did he say to something I didn't do, "Why didn't you do this?" This is our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did he have expectations of Anas? Yes, He raised him, but he made the expectations reasonable. He didn't beat him over the head with them. You made this mistake, you made this mistake, you made this mistake. Why did you do this? Why didn't you do that? No, he has the suhbah. He has this companionship with Anas as he's raising him. Another method and key of parenting that is very important is to be fair and to be just to our children. We mentioned a few weeks ago in the khutbah a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna al-muqsitin 'inda Allahi 'ala manabir min nur 'an yamin ar-Rahman." That those who are just, those who act justly, fairly, they will be on pulpits of light on the right side of Ar-Rahman, of the Most Merciful, on the Day of Judgment. Subhanallah, it's a beautiful virtue. The companions asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who are al-muqsitin, who are the people who act justly? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, الذين يعدلون في حكمهم وأهليهم وما ولوا. He said, those who are just when it comes to their hukm, their rule, their power, their family, and to everything they undertake. The Prophet specified those who are just with their families, those who are fair with their families. Now the question, are we fair with our children? Are we fair and are we just when we treat them? Unfortunately, many parents will exhibit favoritism towards one child over the other. And there was a study done in Purdue University where they went to parents and they asked the parents, do you have a favorite? And most parents said no, but they would start probing with some questions. And after 3, 4, 5 questions, the parent would admit, yes, I have a favorite. When the child feels that there is favoritism, that the parent prefers one child over the other, statistically, they are more likely to use drugs and alcohol. Statistically, they are more likely to suffer low self-esteem and depression and anxiety. And so it is very damaging to family dynamics when children feel that there's favoritism, when they feel the parent is not being just between them. And so we have to be aware of this, and we have to strive as parents to try to make things fair. And this is very difficult, I acknowledge, very difficult, because even in circumstances where parents are fair, sometimes the children perceive unfairness, even when it's not there. And so it's important for parents to go out of their way to try to make sure that their children feel that there is fairness happening inside of the home. We know the incident where the man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, O Messenger of Allah, I gave a gift to my son, but my wife insists that you are the witness over it. And it seems the wife was intelligent and she knew what the husband was doing was wrong. So she told him, only give this gift if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be the witness. So the Prophet is reading the situation. So he asked him, did you give a gift like this to your other children? The man said, no. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَلَا تُشَاهِدْنِي إِذَن. And one hadith, فَلَا تُشَاهِدْنِي عَلَى زُورٍ. فَلَا تُشَاهِدْنِي إِذَن فَإِنِّي لَا أُشَاهِدُ عَلَى جَوْرٍ. اتق الله وأعدلوا بين أولادكم. He said, do not make me a witness in that case, for I will not be a witness over injustice. I will not be a witness over injustice. اتق الله, fear Allah, وأعدلوا بين أولادكم, and be just and fair between your children. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, أليس يسرك أن يكونوا في البر سواء. Wouldn't you be happy that your children honor you equally? Don't you want all of your children to honor you equally? Do you want one child to honor you and the other child to neglect you and ignore you and treat you badly? Or do you want all of them to honor you? Of course, every parent is going to say, I want all of them to honor me. Then be fair to them. Be equal in your treatment of them so that they will equally honor you as well. We know in even another hadith that the Prophet ﷺ is sitting with a man in a majlis, and the son of the man comes in. So the man hugs his child, kisses the child, the son, and puts the son to sit on his lap, on his thigh. Then the daughter comes in, and the daughter sits with him, and he neither kisses the daughter, nor does he seat the daughter on his other lap, on his other thigh. And the Prophet is seeing this. So the Prophet ﷺ said to him, أَلَا سَوَيْتَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Why have you not been fair between them? Or you should be fair between them. Meaning, you kissed the son, kissed the daughter. You sat the son on your lap, seat the daughter on your lap. SubhanAllah, to this degree, the Prophet ﷺ is concerned about the fairness that the parents showed towards their children. To this degree, even the kiss he gave the son, he's saying, give it also to the daughter. And we have parents sometimes who give massive amounts of money to one child over the other, who want to break the rules of inheritance and give everything to one child instead of the other. What is this? How is this from the tradition of our Prophet ﷺ? So I advise you, be fair in what you give your children. Not only in terms of money, not only in terms of gifts, even with attention. The Prophet is telling the man about being fair with his kisses, with his hugs. Be fair with attention, with your energy, with your excitement. You're so energetic to spend time with one child and you're just bored with the other child. The child can see your body language. With your energy and your excitement and your effort, be fair with your children. And be fair with your discipline as well. Sometimes we're inconsistent, you know. One child, we always want to lay down the law. The other child, we always give them a free pass. We can't be like that. We have to be consistent even in our discipline and fair with them. The other thing we should do is not compare our children to each other. Why can't you be like your brother? Why can't you be like your sister? This can easily be interpreted by the child. Oh, she loves my brother more than she loves me. He loves my sister more than he loves me. And so we don't want to put children in this situation where they're competing with each other. Don't say, why can't you be like your brother? Why can't you be like your sister? The third thing I will say, spend time alone with your children individually. Your children are competing for your attention naturally. So spend time, okay? I'm going to take my son for something today. And next week, I'm going to take my daughter and do something with her alone. And I'm going to do something with my other child alone the week after. Give them alone time where they're not competing for your attention. And this will build a bond between you and between your child as well. فَأَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا لِي وَلَكُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. I have a lot more to talk about, but subhanAllah, time is limited and I don't want to keep you all too long. The last thing I will say that I've said before but is incredibly important is the way we teach our children Islam. One of the most important rights of the child and obligations of the parents is to teach our children Islam. And too often we are not thinking properly about how we teach our children Islam. Too often we are teaching our children how to be Muslims, how to make wudu, how to make ghusl, how to pray. This is the number one ask I get from parents. The children need to know how to make tahara, and they need to know how to pray, and they need to know the rules, they need to know the fiqh. And yet how many have we seen coming into their years of high school, university? They know how to pray, they know how to make wudu. What they don't know is why they should be Muslim. What they don't know is why they should believe in Islam. What they don't know is why this religion is worth following. What they don't know is why the Prophet ﷺ is worthy of being our example. We have taught our children how, and we forgot to teach them why. And when they get these questions, Sometimes we even suppress it. They say, why should I believe in God? You say, A'udhu billah, why are you even asking this question? This is not the way we teach our children to have iman. And the Prophet's way of teaching children was iman. We see with Ibn Abbas, his cousin, who is a young adolescent, ihfadhillah yahfadhk, ihfadhillah tajidhu tujahak. This famous, beautiful hadith, be mindful of Allah, you will find Him. Be mindful of Allah, you will find Allah before you. Be mindful of Allah, Allah will be mindful of you. This beautiful hadith, all of it is building iman, connecting them with Allah. Who is Allah? Their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to establish this with our children and provide the resources, inshallah, for our children to know these answers so that they grow up as confident Muslims. Inna Allahu malaikatahu yusalluna 'ala an-nabi, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallim.